Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. I'm going to go over a few announcements with you as we get ready. We will be in the book of Jonah this morning. And so there will be no services or activities tonight. We want you to spend time with your family. Enjoy the holiday time. This coming Wednesday, September the 4th, Gen Now Student Ministry youth will not meet. Youth members are welcome to join the Bible study in the auditorium. All other activities and classes will be held, including the fellowship meal at 5:30. You're invited to a baby shower in honor of Carson and Trevor Williams on Sunday, September the 15th at 2 p.m. at the Gathering Place. Details and registry information are available in today's bulletin. The Baptist Children's Home and Family Services in Carmel will hold its annual Fall Festival on Saturday, September the 21st from 10 to 2. If you'd like to help with the Waldo booth or would like more information, please see Jordan and Megan McClellan, and they will help. They will get you connected and how to help in that area of ministry. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this service. Father God, we just thank you for this wonderful time this morning to gather in your house with your people, Father. And we are reminded, as every Sunday, Lord, this is your church, this is your body. And Father, we just are glad to be a part of what you're doing. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you will speak to us and through song and through the preaching of your word, God, that your name would be glorified more than anything else. There's no words in any language that can truly describe how wonderful and how beautiful you are. And so, Father, in our best and feeblest ways, Lord, we just try to exalt you with everything we have. Father, thank you for loving us with a cross. And thank you for dying in our place that we might be where you are forever and ever and ever. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. This is John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's sing out this morning. We're going to start off with an old hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. Let's lift up our voices together.
Yeah.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me, His love for me. Who the sun sets free.
Oh, place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
You may be seated. If we can have a couple of ushers come now as we worship, our ushers come as we worship with our tithes and our offerings, I would appreciate it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless this offering. Brother Keith Lovin, would you bless it?
This is a song I introduced a few weeks ago. We're going to do it again. We're going to have the lyrics up here. I know we don't normally do that. We're doing an offering. But I want to encourage you guys to sing along if you know it. And if not, it's a great time to learn it. And Lord willing, we'll do this one here in a couple weeks. And it's called Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. How can it be the one who died has borne our sin through sacrifice to conquer every sting of death? Sing, sing hallelujah. For joy awakes as dawning light when Christ's disciples lift their eyes. Alive he stands, their friends and king. Christ, Christ, he is risen. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Where doubt and darkness once had been, they saw him and their hearts believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet sing hallelujah. Once bound by fear, now bold in faith, they preach the truth and power of grace. Pouring out their lives, they gain life, life everlasting. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. The power that raised him from the grave works in us to powerfully save. He frees our hearts to live his grace. Go tell of his goodness. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. He's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive. Now in heaven glorified, he's alive, he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide, he's alive, he's alive. Now in heaven glorified. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join a chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed.
If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of Jonah. I wish that I could sit here and say to you all, if you were going to be like someone in the Bible, who would you find yourself most identifying with? You think about that, and of all the people in the Bible, who would you see yourself identifying most with? Well, we would like to say that, well, I can identify with the Apostle Paul. He was a great titan of the Bible, or James, or Peter, one of the disciples. But if there was someone probably that I would most identify with in my walk with the Lord, and sometimes it's hard to say this, it would be Jonah. And I want you to see, as we go through this book rather quickly this morning, I want you to write down things that stand out to you that God teaches you. There are so many life lessons and valuable lessons from the book of Jonah, and that we all can glean from. And many of you say, well, I've read Jonah many times. But isn't it neat that you can read the book of Jonah or any Bible many times and you always come out with something new? God always teaches you something maybe a little bit different or a different slant when you're reading it again, because that's just what the Word of God does. God will teach you what you need at that moment that you need it in the Bible. And so another way to look at the book of Jonah, a couple of things here. He was also known as the reluctant prophet. The reluctant prophet that he was called to go and do something that God called him to do, and he was reluctant to do it. Have you ever found yourself reluctant to do something? Or you found yourself reluctant to do something for the Lord, and maybe you've even talked yourself out of it because you feel like you're not qualified, or you don't feel like you can do that, and you're reluctant about doing it. Or maybe you're reluctant about doing something that God's called you to do just because you don't want to do it. And you just don't want to do it, and you don't feel like, not that you're not equipped, because you just don't want to. Well, this was the case of Jonah. When you look at Jonah's life, he ran from God. He praised God. He complained to God about everything. And you look at all of them emotions and all them things that when he goes through. Have you ever ran from God? Have you ever praised God? Have you ever complained to God? Many of us, that identifies with our lives. That identifies with what we go through and what we do in life. And one of my ultimate goals as a pastor and as a preacher is to teach us just how to simply walk with God. Sometimes that's the hardest part, is how do I walk with God, and how do I do it efficiently, and how do I do it effectively in a world that's lost? How do I walk against the upstream of what the world is bringing my way, and how am I to be faithful in a world that's unfaithful? Well, you learn life lessons that God teaches you. There's things that you have learned in life that you're under conviction about, or you got convicted about, and God really set that thing home in your life that really stuck with you. And so as we look through this and as we read this, we'll stop and we'll pause and we'll glean and we'll go and we'll stop and we'll pause, okay? So just bear with me this morning as we look at this. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.'" Well, the very first thing that we see is the word of the Lord. This word Lord here, if you notice in your Bible, it's capital L, it's capital O, it's capital R, and it's capital D. This is the literal name of God. This is the word Yahweh. It's not the title of God. If you see in the Bible, capital L, small O, small R, small D, that is more the title of God. But when you have all caps, it's talking about the actual name of Yahweh. As a matter of fact, they didn't say Yahweh very often because they were afraid to say that name out loud in order that it might offend God, or they might say it in a way that they're not supposed to. But that word literally means I am. You remember Moses when he comes back and says, okay, who am I supposed to tell them? Says to let my people go, you tell them I am sent you. I am not like you. I am not like anyone else. I'm totally separate. I am holy, holy, holy. And so we see at the very beginning, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh, and I want you to preach against it. You see, he has saw their wickedness. There's nothing that we can hide from God. Many times we think we can hide from God, or we think we can keep that from God, but there is nothing we can keep from God, and there is nothing that we can hide from God. God knows absolutely everything. And Jonah here is one of those minor prophets, and he's going to a city that he didn't like. He didn't care anything about the Ninevites. He was very reluctant to go. As a matter of fact, he wasn't going because he didn't like them. He didn't like what they stood for. He didn't like what they were about. He didn't like anything about them. What he didn't know was that there was a bigger picture. What he didn't know, that God had a bigger plan. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, and there's things that we don't like or things that we're uncomfortable about, God has a bigger plan. And he's told to go, and he's told to preach against him. A prophet, A prophet just wasn't liked. Many times, why? Because a prophet told the truth. A prophet told the truth about their sin, about their wicked ways. And can you imagine him going up in the middle of the city preaching about their wickedness? I mean, no one likes to be told about their wickedness, right? And a prophet was the one who would go and preach against it. And that's what he's going to go do. And he's saying, whoa, 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 I don't even care much about them. And now I'm going to preach against their sin and all of their wickedness. And so here we see what Jonah does. Verse 3 says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. He ran away from the Lord. Now, when I preach in an audience where everyone's in different places. I don't know exactly where you are this morning, and I don't know if you're running away from the Lord. There's a good chance that you've been running away from the Lord, and what's we know that his theology wasn't very strong, Jonah. Reason being is because he thought that he can run away from God. Matter of fact, we can't run away from God. How are you going to run from someone who's everywhere? Because everywhere that you go, God is. And you can try to run all you want, but you will never be able to run away from God because God is absolutely everywhere. There is a good chance this morning that there are some in here under the hearing of my voice that's running away from God from the call of ministry. God has been calling you into ministry. God has been calling you to do the work of ministry, or maybe he's calling you into a pastorate, or maybe he's calling you to be a missionary, or maybe he's simply calling you to be a children's worker or a youth worker or a nursery worker. And you've been running from what God has been calling you to do. You see, God's given us gifts if we're a believer, and God has called us to use those gifts, not to let them go unused. Or maybe there's another instance here this morning that you've been running away from God because you're not where God wants you to be. You know you hadn't been living your life the way you should be living, and as a matter of fact, you've been living it the way you want to live it. You want to live it with your time strains, and you want to live it the way, and you're running from God. I'm going to tell you something, that never works. You can run from God all day long, and when God wills, it will be. I find that so true in my life. I ran from God when he was calling me into ministry. I've ran from God when he was calling me to do something that I was reluctant to do. And we're going to see here what God does when you run from him. It says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord, and he headed for Tarshish, and he went down to Joppa. Can I just do a little side note here? That whenever you're running from the Lord, it's always going down. You see, that's what sin does. Sin will always take you down. Sin will take you down. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will hurt you more than you want to be hurt. It will not only hurt you, it will also hurt the people around you. That's what sin does. And so we see that he went down to Joppa where he found a ship. Isn't that neat that he just found a ship? He found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. I also want to make note of this because I think it's something worth making note of, that when you run from the Lord, Satan will always provide transportation. You'll always be able to find a way to run away from the Lord. Satan will always provide that for you so that you can run as far away as you can from the Lord. Because Satan doesn't want you running to the Lord. He wants you to run away from the Lord. And he'll always give you that opportunity to be able to run away from the Lord. And Satan brought that ship there, and he was going to run, but you can run, but you can't hide. And we see here that as we go further, verse 4, it said, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Now, notice here too that in the book of Jonah, everything and everyone obeys the Lord but Jonah. The sea obeys the Lord, The wind obeys the Lord. The fish obeys the Lord. Everything obeys the Lord, but Jonah, he was the one who was in sin and he was the one running. And let me just say this, that when you run from the Lord and you are a child of God, He disciplines those He loves. If you don't get anything else in all of this, know this, that if you are His, He'll bring discipline if you don't listen to Him. And that discipline comes in different ways and different factors. And here, He was going to get Jonah's attention no matter what. And He sent a wind. You know what He said? He looked to his atmosphere and He said, "Wind, go get him." And all of a sudden that wind began to blow and began to blow and it began to blow. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. And such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid. Listen, when the sailors are afraid, you better be afraid. I mean, these are people who are on the water all the time, and they've seen it all. And listen, it's like getting on an airplane. And when that pilot's afraid, you better be afraid. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be on a plane when the pilot's afraid. I don't even like to be on a plane, period. But when the pilot's afraid, you better be afraid. Well, these sailors were afraid because it was so violent. You know, if you're not walking and you're not where the Lord wants you, He'll bring a storm in your life. He'll get your attention one way or another. Why? Because He loves you. Because He cares for you. Now, I also want to make this note too, that just because a storm comes up in your life doesn't necessarily mean you're running from the Lord. It could also mean that He's bringing a test in your life to grow you in your faith, to grow you in your walk. We know that those tests that come up in our lives are tests that make sure that we get those bad things out of our life, that we may be pure and righteous before Him. And so, therefore, He will bring a test in your life only to grow you and strengthen you in your faith. But also, if you're not where you need to be with the Lord and you're running from the Lord and you got sin in your life, He will also bring a storm in your life. And what He does is He gets you to where you need to be. And praise God that He does. Because we think that we know best for our life. If it was left up to us, we would absolutely blow it. But because God is so good and He's so kind that He does bring those storms into our life so that He can keep us in check and so that He can bring us to where we need to be. We need to praise Him in the storms of life. Because He is good and He knows what's best for our life. And then it says, but Jonah had gone down below deck. Well, let me back up. Then the Lord sent a great wind in the sea and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God, small g. And threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down, there it is again, gone down below deck where he laid down and he fell into a deep sleep. And the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe He will take notice of us that we will not perish. They're already resolving that they're fixing to die. And then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. You see, Jonah's sin just didn't stick to himself. Jonah's sin and running from God not only affected his family, but it affected the people around him. People that he didn't even know it was affecting him. He says, you are the one that brought this calamity on all of us because of his disobedience to what God was calling him to do. Now, I believe that we can go on and say this from this point on, that when you follow the Lord and you listen to the Lord and you obey the Lord, things go a whole lot better. Why is it that we need to have storms in our life over and over again in our life to get that? We forget so easy, don't we? And then we go well for a little bit, and then we struggle again. God will bring a storm in our life. And then, oh yeah, I remember that. And then He'll bring another one in our life. So praise God for those storms. And He says, cast lots, and lot fell on Jonah. So they ask Him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? I mean, they're asking question after question here because they want to know what's going on. In verse 9, He answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord. The Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. The God that I worship made everything that you see. The God that I serve made the land, made the ocean, made the universe, made everything that you can see. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? What in the world have you done? And they knew He was running away from the Lord because He had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked Him, what should we do with you to make the sea calm down for us? And He says something that absolutely blows their mind. And He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Can you do that? I mean, they were struggling with what He told them to do. He said, pick me up and throw me into the sea, He replied, and it will become calm, and know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. He's starting to take the ramifications of it, and He's starting to pronounce His own fault. Many times, why is it that when we sin or when we do something wrong, what we want to do is blame everyone else? We would rather point the finger at someone else. It feels a whole lot better when we don't have to point it at ourselves. But taking responsibility for our own actions, for our own sin, for our own running from God is the first step of saying, it is on me. Walking with the Lord is personal. It is very personal. That you are responsible for your own walk with the Lord. And you and I are responsible for our own sin. And when we grow in Christ, it's taking on the responsibility that when you sin, you own it. You confess it. And you keep going. You see, there is a huge forgiveness factor with God. There is a huge grace factor with God. You see, God already knows when you sin. He just wants you to know it. Sometimes we don't even see our own sin because we're too busy trying to cover it up. We're too busy trying to look at someone else and their wrongdoings and all of that. We began to mature in our faith when we began to see our own sin and call it by name. And take responsibility for it. You see, God sees sin so seriously that He sent His Son to die on a cross for the sins of the world. His own Son. He takes it so seriously, and here Jonah was running. And he was sinning, and it was bringing calamity on everyone. In verse 13, instead, the men did their best to row back. They were trying to do their best to row back to the land. They didn't want to throw him in. Oh, if there's anything else we can do and other than throw him in. And so they did their best. Do you know what? Your best efforts can't thwart God. Your best efforts will never thwart God. Why? Because God is stronger than all of men and women's best efforts. You will never row against God's waves in your life. And so, it says, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Jonah, they're fixing to throw him over. That was their only left option. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard. And the raging sea, what? Grew calm again. I mean, immediately it grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to Him. And then we see the providence of God. This book is filled with so much goodness of God. I mean, the providence of God is that there was a fish who obeyed God. Not just any fish, a big fish. You can call it a whale, whatever you want to call it, or you can call it a huge bass. I don't care. It is a big fish that was right at the place that God wanted it when God wanted it there, because He knew that they were going to throw Jonah overboard and that fish was waiting. And as soon as Jonah was thrown overboard, the fish took Jonah. It says, verse 17, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish." The Lord provided. Sometimes we think in a situation like that, that, man, this isn't a provision of the Lord, but it was a provision of the Lord. Jonah didn't die at this moment. Because why? Because God was not done with Jonah. You and I will not breathe our last until God is done with us here. I don't care if you're 110 years old, that when God is done is when God is done, and He'll call us home. But until then, we're going to work. Well, God wasn't done with Jonah. He provided a fish, and the fish swallowed him. I don't know about you, this would be a panic moment for me. I don't like smells, and I don't like claustrophobia situations, and I don't like dark. I mean, this would be an ultimate bad place for me. You better believe I'm going to be crying out. I'd be gagging out, crying out, all of that stuff going on right now. And here, he has been swallowed. I can't think of it. I mean, this is horrible. Now, the Lord provided. Can I just pause one more minute? Think about how the Lord has provided for you. I mean, His provisions are so good to us. Oh, 3 days and three nights. I mean, not just a couple of hours. 3 days and three nights. Inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. This was also a picture of Jesus, who was buried for 3 days, and He rose on the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. This was a picture of what was to come. This was a picture of the Christ to come, that He would take the sins of the world and He would die and He would be buried for 3 days and He would rise again on the third day. That's why you and I can live today victorious under the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, if that don't get you excited, I don't know what does. I mean, that gets me excited. And it says, from the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and he said, "In my distress, I call to you, Lord." You know what? Do you find yourself calling the Lord more in your distress? Yes. Let's just be honest. I'm telling you, I've only been on a plane a few times, but when I'm getting on there, I find myself praying a whole lot more. When I get on an elevator, y'all don't know it, I'm praying like thunder. There are certain things that in my distress, and those are small distresses compared to many people's distresses. And it says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And what'd He do? Ignore me? No, He answered. He was running from the Lord. He was sinning against the Lord. He wasn't listening to the Lord. And Jonah called on Him, and what'd God do? God answered him. Do you know what you can do this morning? Call on the Lord. Maybe you hadn't called on Him in a long time. It could be that maybe you're ashamed to call on Him because of the way you've been living your life and you hadn't been where God wants you to be. What's just amazing how Satan works and how Satan puts things in our mind and how Satan makes us feel guilty and alienated away from God. But I want you to know that all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. In your distress and in your running and in your rebellion and all these things, all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. And He answered me from the deep in the realm of the dead. I called for help and You listened to my cry. Corrington Boone said that there is no pit so deep that God's love doesn't go deeper still. It doesn't matter how low you are. It doesn't matter how down and out you are. That there is no pit so deep that God's love and His grace doesn't go deeper still. I know that there's been times in my life that I was crushed, but I wasn't abandoned. God is so good that He hears His people. He says, "You hurled me into the depths." Who did it? God did it. "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. Your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head." I mean, he's being very descriptive. He is in a world of trouble here. "But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit." Isn't that just what God does? God can take a mess of your life and make it a message. He can take a test of your life and make it a testimony. You just got to call upon Him and you got to cry out to Him. "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with the shouts of grateful praise..." Now he's praising God in the middle of a fish. "With sacrifice to you, what I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." He is crying out to the Lord. Now he's praising God in this fish. I mean, he's saying, "Give me another chance, Lord." You know, God's a God of second chances. He's a God of third chances. I don't even have to ask you how many chances He's given you, right? I can't even count that high. That He has given me chance after chance after chance after chance. And He says, "Here, I will say salvation comes to the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land. Ugh. You know where Jonah ended up? Right where God wanted him. If Jonah would have just listened to God, he wouldn't have had to go through all that trouble. All the heartache, all the smells. I mean, get this picture. He's at Nineveh and not by boat. Have y'all ever traveled by fish before? He started out on a ship, ended up in a fish. And then all of a sudden, they get up to the shore of Nineveh and spits him right out, slime and all. No one wanted to be around him. And now he's got to go preach. Many of us, we feel like we got to get on our dress clothes, our tie, our cologne, our deodorant, all that to get up here and preach. Not Jonah. And he gets up there and he goes into the city. Why? Because he's listening now to God. Salvation comes from you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, here's his sermon. Y'all ready? 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Amen. That was his sermon. Some of you would say, "Boy, that was short and sweet." I mean, we're talking, this is serious. Nineveh was in rebellion. Nineveh was lost. On the outside of Nineveh, Josephus said that there was totem poles with skulls of heads where they had killed people who come into the city and didn't go along with the city's statutes, and they killed them. It was ruthless. And here Jonah is going to preach to a ruthless nation. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the Ninevites what? Believed God. You see, the power isn't in the preacher. The power is in the Word of God. The power is in God and God alone. And he preached one of the shortest sermons that probably a pastor's ever preached. And there were thousands upon thousands who come to know Jesus Christ. Why? Because he obeyed God at this moment and he preached what God wanted him to preach. And there is power in that. When I came to Christ, it wasn't anything of myself. It wasn't anything of the preacher. It was the Word of God that pierced the darkest heart and changed my life and changed my direction and saved my soul. And then it goes on. And when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in dust. You're talking about a change. I mean, they're repenting, they're rolling in dirt, they're putting on sackcloth. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that he will not so that we will not perish. Verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Why? Because they repented and they turned from their sin. Because they repented and they turned from their sin and turned to God. What an amazing thing it is when you turn from your sin and you turn to God. It changes everything. There was a time in my life that I went my own way because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And there was a time in my life that I thought I knew better than everyone else and I knew better than God. And I realized that I didn't know anything. I didn't even know I needed God until I knew I needed Him. I didn't think I needed anyone until I realized I needed God. And now, 30 years into it, I realize that I need God more today than I've ever needed Him in my entire life. My kids need God. My grandchildren need God. And I'm not talking about a small g God. I'm talking about capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I'm talking about Yahweh. I'm talking about the God who created all that we see. I'm talking about the God who created you in the time frame that you're in right now. Isn't that amazing? That you're living in this day and age. You could have lived 3,000 years ago, or you could have lived 200 years ago, you could live 200 years from now, but God created you now for this moment. Your story. And then, but to Jonah, and now get this, here again, Jonah's a roller coaster, okay? And I'm closing. Y'all have to buckle your pew belts right now, okay? We're landing this plane. Or we're pulling in as a train. I'm not doing planes. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. What? And he became angry and he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, the Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you're gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love." Oh, Jonah. It was going so well with you, Jonah, and then all of a sudden you turn again. Why? Because of your own feelings and your own wants and your own desires. I knew you were going to be compassionate to them. God, don't you know I don't really care for them? You see, God don't really care so much of how we feel about people. It's how He feels about them. Aren't you glad that He does care? Because the Bible says in Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we're no better than anyone else. That we have the greatest need of all, and that is the need of Christ Himself. And here Jonah is going to get upset. Why? Because he has personal feelings against them. And he doesn't like them. He doesn't care about them. And God's getting ready to teach him a valuable lesson. You see, I want you to look at me right now. The gospel is for all people. All people. All over the world, all races, all colors, all people. That's why it's called the good news. That's why He's called us as a church to take the gospel to all people. Why? Because they need the gospel the same way we need the gospel. Nineveh didn't know they needed the gospel until the gospel came to them. And when the gospel came to them, they saw their great need for the gospel. And look, he says, Now the Lord take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He is throwing a pity party. I mean, he's throwing a fit is what we call it, right? Kids ever throw a fit? He's throwing a fit. Have you ever thrown a fit? You don't have to answer that. We throw fits when things don't go our way. We throw fits when there's something we don't like. And then we just go over in a corner and we sulk. And here a nation has just repented and come to know Christ. And he's up on a hill with his arms crossed, with his lip out. And he's sulking because it didn't go the way he wanted it to go. And look what it says. But the Lord replied, Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. Boy, I mean, we're happy about things that God brings our way, and then we can turn at the drop of a hat, right? Oh, God, thank you for this shade, and watch what happens. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. A worm. You know what this worm's going to do? It's going to aggravate Jonah to no end. It's going to eat the plant that's giving shade to Jonah. Yeah. And so, which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, what did God do? God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And he wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than live. Oh, I mean, he's really getting with it now. But God said to Jonah, and here's the lesson. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. And I am so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or you did not make it grow. It wasn't yours in the first place, Jonah. I'm the one that brought it up over you. And he says, and it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not be concerned for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also they have many animals? What he's literally saying is, Jonah, you care more about this plant that's giving you shade than 120,000 souls that are in Nineveh. Can I ask us a question right now? Where is our heart for the lost? You know, if we're not careful, we're more concerned about what we got going on this week. We're more concerned about our jobs. We're more concerned about all of these things. We're more concerned about maybe making the team. We're more concerned about all of these things. But what about the millions of people out there that don't know Jesus Christ? You think about all the complaining. Y'all ever complain? I don't know if you do, but there's sometimes we complain. You may be one of these that never complain. But let me tell you, you do. Because we all are a people who find ourselves complaining, what, when things don't go the way we want it or the way we think it should go. But the reality is that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that don't know Jesus Christ. And that should be the motivation in our life, that we should take the gospel into a dying world through our lives and share Jesus Christ with others, knowing that when they hear the gospel, they're going to repent and they're going to believe and they're going to follow Christ. That is the good news of the gospel. So I want you to think about Jonah's life. I don't know what it is that maybe you're running from today. It may not be you're running from a ministry. It could be that you're running from guilt. It could be that you're running from your past. It could be that you're running from something that's happened in your past. I want you to know something. You'll never be where God wants you to be if you keep looking back to your past. You're to look forward to what God has in store for you and His goodness in your life. And maybe you're running from your own guilt of something that you've done in the past. That you know what? Everyone's forgiven you, but you haven't forgiven yourself. You know that happens a lot. I've talked to many people through the years that says, I have trouble just forgiving myself. Listen, if God has forgiven you, you're forgiven. If you don't forgive yourself and knowing that God has forgiven you, what you're saying is your forgiveness is better than God's. When God has forgiven you, He has given you past, present, and future. And you just walk forward through the door that God's calling you to, and you be everything that God's called you to be. Okay? Let's pray. I thank you for the book of Jonah, this small, minor prophet tucked away amongst the other prophets. And Lord, it's a book we read often to our kids and our grandkids. Probably one of the things that we remember most about it is the fish. Father, let us be reminded today of a great and awesome God who heard the wickedness of Nineveh, who sent a preacher to go and tell them the truth. And Lord, even to this day, you are sending out preachers and missionaries all over the world because you've seen their wickedness rise to you. And we know that through the preaching and teaching of the gospel that there's going to be a people out there in every tribe, tongue, and nation that are going to come through the power of the gospel. Lord, I remember the day so well that I came to you through the preaching of the gospel. That's what opened up my heart. That's what took out the heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. And I began to see the beauty of a wonderful Savior in Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's lost, they need to be saved. I pray that they'll take that first step to come to you. Lord, if there's anyone here today that just needs to come to this altar because they haven't been where they need to be with you, that maybe today they'll come before you and just turn it over to you. Maybe there's someone that they know that's on their mind and heart that's going through a difficult time, and they just need to come and stand in the gap and ask you to intercede on their behalf. Whatever it is that's on our heart this morning, let us leave.